Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله.
أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله.
حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر.
الله أكبر الله أكبر.
لا إله إلا الله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and we ask Him for help and we ask for His protection and we seek safety in Allah from the weakness in our own selves and from the evil consequences of what we do. And whoever Allah guides, there is no one who can lead him astray. And who Allah finds in error, where Allah finds deviating, there is no one to guide him. And I bear witness that there is no God but Allah and He has no partners. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his servant and his messenger. Dear Muslims, dear believers, Allah speaks to the believers in the Holy Quran, and He says, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatihi wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun." O believers, O you who believe, have taqwa for Allah. Be conscientious of your duty to Allah with the care which is due to Him, and do not die unless you are Muslim. And we oftentimes say this. That doesn't mean do not die unless you have repeated the Kalima or the Shahadatain. That may not save you if you are still persistent in doing wickedness. Allah says do not die unless you are Muslim, and the true meaning of that is do not die unless you have submitted your whole self to obey Allah. So never let a moment pass, never let a second pass where you are not trying your best with all that you have in you to do the will of Allah and to avoid doing that which displeases Allah. Allah also says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadidan yuslihkum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. And again, he's addressing this to the believers. He's saying, O you who believe, have taqwa for Allah and speak the right word. Speak the right word. And the right word is the truth. And who is he saying that we should speak the right word to? Most of all, it's to our own nafs, to our own selves, so that we will be able to be guided by that word. The word from Allah will guide us if we will speak it to our own heart, and it will help us to avoid falling into the traps of the shaitan, who is also trying to speak to us, and he is speaking to us. And the only thing that's going to protect us from his speech is the word of Allah, but not just saying the word of Allah, but being committed to following and obeying the word of Allah. And then Allah says He would put your deeds, your actions into the right state for you if you will listen to your conscience, if you will listen to Allah speaking to you. and follow that, then he will put you on the right path and put your deeds into the right state for you. And then once you have done that, Allah will forgive you your past faults. Once you make tawbah and you turn away from those things that the devil has invited you to do that maybe you had a weakness for, or maybe out of ignorance you fell victim to his trap. But once you know the right way and you follow the right way, then Allah will give you his mercy. He will forgive you and put you into the right state. And it says, whoever obeys Allah and his Rasul, he achieves a mighty success. And that's the whole purpose of us even being here in this physical state that we're in, is to achieve the success of achieving the Jannah at the end of this trial, because this is a short trial. It's not a very long trial. I mean, you could live to be 125, 130 years old, and in comparison with some of the old prophets that we hear about Moses, we hear about Noah and others that live hundreds of years. In these time of counting, not in some special counting, people used to live a long, long time. People can live a long time now if we started eating right and living right. I've heard of people even today in this time we're living in today that lived to be 150 years old. I met a man personally who lived to be 135 years old. And to be honest with you, our brother lieutenant on the end, he didn't look much older than you, and he was 125 years old when I met him, and his back was just as straight as yours. And probably could lift as much weight as you could, because he lifted iron for a living. You know, he worked for a place where they collected iron and put iron on the train truck. And that's what he did, you know, 5 days a week. And the man had a back as straight as yours, and the skin was as smooth as yours, and he was 125 years old. He's passed on now. He lived to be 135. But that's still a short time. So we should dedicate every bit of our time. I'm 75 years old, and I don't feel like, you know, that I've lived a long time. Some people may say, well, you haven't. But most of my friends, people that I grew up with, you know, they don't even work anymore. They've gotten to the point where they say they're tired of working. And I feel like, inshallah, you know, I've got some more time to try to do what we're doing today, you know, which is to be with the Muslims and do something good for the Muslims, because I know one day it's all going to be over. So let us use this time that we have to make the best of it, to try to do everything we can to be prepared for that day when Allah is going to judge us. And it won't be any false accusations. You know, recently in the news, I'm not going to belabor this point, but I just want to say there's a young actor that he's a star on this popular TV series. I personally don't watch the series. I don't watch too much of those kind of series in, because they're all about evil things. And this is about a lot of evil in the entertainment business. And this particular person recently got in a lot of trouble. He's in a lot of trouble right now. He may even have to go to prison because he lied and said that somebody attacked him and called him bad name because he's a homosexual. And come to find out, he paid people to do that to bring attention to himself, because he was dissatisfied because he wasn't making much money as he wanted to make on the show he was on. And that's the kind of world we're living in today. People are trying to trick each other and trying to do things to bring attention to themselves. Now, and so I want to talk about that for a minute. Allah says to us in the Holy Quran, and you know, forgive me if my Arabic is not good, because I'm still learning, but I'll just try my best. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allah said, if a person is reciting the Quran, if you ever hear somebody reciting the Quran and they don't say it correctly, you should correct them. This is sunnah. You should correct them. Never let it go, because the Quran is the word of Allah. And we have an obligation as a ummah to make sure that word is kept pure, you know, to make sure that it's correct. So anytime you hear me or anybody else, even if you're in the big masjid and the chief sheikh is reciting the Quran, you know, and he says kaf, and he should be saying kaf, you have to correct that, because it's a difference. As you know, being Arab speakers, it's a difference. Every sound has a particular relationship to the word. And if you don't say the right sound, then your word is not right. I often tell people the story about the person that he wanted to say called, but he said cow. And the person listening to him, he spoke up. He said, why is he talking about the dog when he should be talking about the heart? Because those sounds are important. So thank you for your help. But this is the point. Allah is telling us that we are brothers, okay? The believers are brothers. Now, what does the word brother mean? Now, I had a brother. He's returned to Allah. He died young in an accident. But he and I were very, very, very close. If you saw me, you saw him. I mean, we really actually looked alike. We weren't twins. We were 3 years apart. But we had the same spirit because we grew up, and I loved him when he came on this earth. Now I had someone I could play with. I had someone I could help. I had someone I could teach. I had someone I could protect. I had someone I could talk to. I remember one day when we were in school together, and I was at 2 or 3 grades ahead of him, and some boys tried to give him a hard time, and he knew who to call. He knew exactly who to call. He came over to me and he says, brother, help me. I'm having difficulty. And of course I went and helped him because that's what brothers do. And as Brother Adnan and I were talking, I hope you don't mind me mentioning your name, we were talking about how today the Ummah is becoming split up. It's becoming fragmented. Brothers are fighting each other instead of helping each other, even brothers from the same country, you know, even brothers from the same society, they're fighting each other. Why are they fighting each other? They're fighting each other because they have lost sight of what the Quran is telling them. If they were to listen to the Quran, they wouldn't allow the shaitan to come between them. Why? Because the Quran says, if two parties, and I didn't read this, but I'll just give it the English translation, says, if two parties of the believers fall to fighting amongst each other, it's our obligation to make peace between them. We shouldn't have all this fighting going on in the Muslim world between different groups of Muslims, and some Muslims don't get in there and start trying to bring them together. But yet we'll read the newspaper, and we'll hear about this Muslim here in Syria fighting this Muslim, Kurds, Muslims, they're still Muslims, and we won't even make dua to make them stop fighting. We just look at it and, okay, it's not us, so we leave it alone. That's not right. Why? Because we told by our prophet, if you see something wrong, you should stop it. If you can't stop it with your hands, then speak out against it. And if you can't do that, then at least not like it, at least object to it in your heart and protest against it. And one way we can protest against it is by making dua and ask Allah to help these people begin to act like their brothers. Because the Quran says that the believers are one brotherhood. We're together as one solid wall. If we really believe in Allah, we should not allow the shaitan to start breaking us up. Because this is the time, let me tell you, when if you look around, I've been on this earth for 75 years. And I lived in World War II, you know, when the Germans and the English and the French and the Americans were fighting. My father was an officer in the Army. He was a pilot, actually, in the Army during that time I was born. So I was so small, I couldn't really see too much what was going on. I couldn't read the paper, but my mother would tell me he was over in Italy, and she would show me a picture of him in his officer's uniform. And so I knew something was going on. Later, then, they had the war in Korea, over in the Far East, and America and the Chinese and the Koreans fought. And I knew about that because I knew people that went to fight in that war. And when I was old enough, I went to fight in that war myself. You know, the big part of the war was over, but they were still fighting. So the Army sent me over there to fight in that war. Okay, and then later on, there was the Vietnam War. And I didn't go to Vietnam, but I was in the Army at the time. It's just that I didn't get assigned to Vietnam, but I had to be prepared to go at any time. And then, of course, after that, years later, you know, we had the war with Iraq, and all of you, you know about that war. I'm talking about that war. And, I was kind of sympathetic, to be honest with you, at first, because the Iraqi people, they're Muslim people, right? And I feel good, you know, when I can be able to say I'm a Muslim and I'm a brother to the Muslim. But I was in Bahrain. That's in Arabia. You all who are from that part of the world, you know where I'm talking about. I was on a Navy ship, and the ship was in Bahrain for like a week or 2 weeks for repairs and supplies and give us a little break from being out on the Persian or Arabian Gulf. And I went out in the town. It was nighttime, and there was this Muslim brother who had a shop, and we got into a conversation. And he said to me, he says, "I'm glad that you, the American Navy, is over here." He said, "I'm happy." I said, "Why are you happy about that?" I wouldn't be too happy for some other country to be in my country, right? He said, "Because if y'all weren't here, Saddam Hussein, he would come over here and he would make life very hard for us." Now, he's an Arab talking about his brother Arab, but he knew what he was talking about because he probably knew people that could tell him stories about what was happening. So even though we don't want to have enmity against our brothers, if we see our brother doing wrong, we should stand up against that. We should say, "That's not right, brother, don't do that." Because as Muslims, we want the brotherhood to be righteous. We don't want brothers to be over here doing fitna, doing zina, or doing stealing. That's not Islam. We want all the brothers to be like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, anyway, we'll stop on that note. But it says that we should make peace between our brothers. And we should have taqwa. We should always have taqwa. And one way we can show that we have taqwa is to do what we are told by the Quran. And the Quran very clearly says that we should make peace between the brothers. Why? So that we can obtain mercy, so that we can be given mercy. So if we want Allah to be merciful to us, because we all need Allah's mercy, it's a mercy for us to be here today. You don't understand how very, very blessed we are. You may take it for granted that here we are in this nice building. And when I came in the building, the officer, he's actually a major. Maybe he's been promoted, but I don't know. I didn't see his top, you know, part of his uniform. But he's a good man. He's in charge of this building. He was out there with a water hose. He was washing the patio. He's cleaning the building. The last week, I saw him. He's out there sweeping. He's cleaning the building for us. Here's a senior officer that's not even a Muslim. He'll clean the building so we can come in and have Jummah in a clean place. Isn't that a mercy from Allah? Because some bases, they don't even have Jummah. Some military bases in America, they do not have Jummah. You take it for granted, perhaps because you see we have it here, but it was not easy to establish the Jummah here. And I won't tell you the history today, but thank Allah that He's merciful to allow us to come together as Muslims to pray together. And always remember this, that we are one brotherhood. And those who you see at the ring hall or in your classroom, I know a lot of the Saudi Arabian brothers don't live on the post. If you know they're not coming to Jummah, and it's fine if they go to the big masjid. It's a beautiful masjid. It's a lovely place to go and be with all the Muslims. But if you see that it's time when the Muslims are given time to go to Jummah and they don't go to class, sometimes they'll just go somewhere and maybe just sit around and take off. This is true. One of the officers, he wasn't a military officer, but he was in charge of the MSO like Mr. Brown is today. Well, before him, there were two others, but the one that was here about 20 years ago when I became the imam here, next month, it'll be actually 18 years, but it's getting close to 20 years. And I went to talk to him about the Muslim having more time to be able to come and be at the Jummah because he wanted all the Muslims back by 2 o'clock. Well, the dude don't even come in until about 12:45. Okay, so we have a 30-minute khutbah, and then we pray. It's like 1:30 before You get out of here, but guess what? In 3 months, when it gets closer to Ramadan, guess what? We won't even get started until 1 o'clock. And so we talked about it, and he said, well, I don't want to give them some more time to go to Juma because a lot of them won't go to Juma. He said, some of them will just go somewhere and take off from class. He said, I went to the mall one day when the Muslims were supposed to be at Juma, and there was Muslims at the mall supposed to be in class. So I said, well, I would talk to the Muslims, make sure that when they get off for Juma, they come to Juma. But you should do that too. Just because you don't know this brother that well, because he's from a different country, we're one brotherhood, that's your brother. You should want for him what you want for yourself. You shouldn't want to see him go to hell because he's from another country and he's a Muslim, and you're not going to worry about what happens to him, because if he don't come to Juma and he don't have a good excuse, guess what? On his mark on the Day of Judgment, that's going to be a bad mark. Why? Because he disobeyed Allah, because Allah said when the call is made to come to Juma on Friday, you should put away your business and come to Juma. You see this person that's disobeying Allah, you think he's going to get a good point on the Day of Judgment, he's going to get a bad point. Do you want him to get a bad point? No, because that's your brother. Just like I told you about my little brother. I didn't want nobody to beat up my little brother. I didn't want my little brother to get hurt. So when I heard that somebody was giving my little brother a hard time, I stepped up to the plate, as we say. I went to his defense. So when you see your brother, I don't care if he's from your country, when you see him going astray, go to his defense. His defense is against Satan. Help him to understand, brother, I don't want to see you go to the hellfire. So please, at least on Friday, come and pray with us, because the command commands you to do that. Inshallah, let's be better at help.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi Ladhi Lahu Ma Fis Samawati Wa Ma Fil Ardi. Wa Lahul Hamdu Fil Kira. Wa Lahul Hamdu Fil Kira. Wa Huwa Hakimu Kabir. Alhamdulillahi Ladhi Lahu Ma Fis Samawati Wa Ma Fil Ardi. Wa Lahul Hamdu Fil Kira. Wa Huwa Hakimu Kabir. Yalamu ma yaliju fil adi, wa ma yakruju minha, wa ma yanzilu minasamai, wa ma yaruju fiha, wa hu rahimu ghafur. With the name Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. Praise be to Allah, unto whom belongs whatsoever is in the heavens and whatsoever is in the earth. His is the alham, the praise in the akira, and he is the wise, he is the aware. Allah knows that which goes down into the earth, and he knows that which comes forth from it. And Allah knows that which descends from the sky, from the heaven, and that which ascends into it. And he, Allah, is the merciful and the forgiving. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala abdika wa rasulika Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala wa sabi ajma'in. Oh Allah, let your prayer and your peace and your blessing be upon your servant and your messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon his family and all of his companions. May Allah be pleased with them. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. And I bear witness, I openly testify, I publicly proclaim that there is no God except Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is one which has no partner. He has no partner, no associate. And I also bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his servant and his messenger. Alhamdulillahi namaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu فلا مضل له من يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهده فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. All praise is due to Allah. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and we beseech Him, meaning we beg Him for help. We go and we ask Him humbly for help. And we ask for His protection. We ask for His protection. And we seek safety in Allah from the weakness in our own nafs, in our own selves, the daif in our own nafs, and from the evil consequences of the things that we do. And whoever Allah guides, there is no one who can lead him astray. And who Allah finds deviating, who Allah finds in error, there is no one to guide him. And I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. Allah says to us in Al-Quran, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Tabulaha haka takatihi. Wala tamutuna illa wa antum muslimun. O believers, O you who believe, be conscious of your duty to Allah. Be careful of your duty to Allah. Have taqwa for Allah with the care which is due to Him. And do not die unless you are submitting to Him. Do not die unless you are in the state of Al-Islam. Or some of the translators or interpreters say, do not die unless you're Muslims. But it's not enough just to be a declared Muslim, to wear the dress of the Muslim externally and have the heart of the hypocrite, the munafiqun. You have to be a Muslim in your heart. If you die and you are not a Muslim in your heart, if you are not submitting to Allah in your heart, then your destiny is a Jahannama. Your destiny is the hellfire, the nar. So Allah reminds us that we should always keep our hearts in obedience and submission to Allah. Not just our outward look that we may show people to make them think that we believe in Allah, but how we really feel. If we really do not give our hearts over to Allah, the outward appearance is going to count for nothing. Because Allah says, do not die unless you have submitted yourself to Him. Not that you dress like those who submit to Him, but that you have submitted yourself to Him. And Allah also says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadidan yuslihkum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. Wa man yuti' Allah wa rasulahu faqad faza fawzan azim. O you who believe, be careful of your duty to Allah. Be conscious of your duty to Allah. Have taqwa for Allah. And speak the right word. Speak the truth. Speak the right word. And Allah says that if we speak the truth, if we speak to our hearts and our minds, to our consciousness, truthfully, about our character, about our state of Islam, or state of Iman, or state of Islam, if we are honest about it, Allah will put our deeds into the right state for us. And He would forgive us our shortcomings. If we are honest about it, if we deceive ourselves and allow ourselves to convince ourselves that things that are not in accordance with the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are okay for us to do, then that deceitfulness is going to keep us from getting our sins forgiven, because we won't repent from them. And Allah will not forgive us if we do not repent from our sins. And our hearts will not change so that we become pleasing to Allah. So we first of all have to speak the truth to our own souls and admit when we're wrong and ask Allah to forgive us and to make us to be righteous and to obey Him instead of deviating from His law. Then he will forgive us if we are sincere and we make the effort to correct ourselves. And whoever obeys Allah, not those who play with Allah, who try to pretend to Allah, who say they believe, but then the next thing you know, they're doing what Allah forbids, and who obeys the Rasul, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that one achieves the success. That's the only one that achieves the success, is the obedient one, obedient to Allah and His Messenger. Dear Muslims, our topic for today, and I'm going to try to keep it short because I've asked our brother, Sheikh Abdul Rahim, who is going to be our imam for today, to give a khatir or a talk after the khutbah. I believe we all can receive, I know, not believe, that we all can receive a lot of benefit from the lessons that he has prepared to present to us. I'm going to try to keep this talk short because I want you to hear this. This is the khutbah. This is what you came for because you're obligated by the Quran to come for this. And I'm going to make sure that you leave here with something very, very essential from the Quran and from the teaching of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that will justify you having come here because Allah has commanded you to come here. But in addition to that, we all can be benefited when we have sheikhs and scholars among us that can raise us to a higher level. And I can be raised certainly to a higher level. So I want to hear our brother when he speaks. So I won't talk very long. And I'm looking at the clock, too, and I know some of you may have to go back. I don't see anybody in uniform, so I still will keep that time in mind. Our topic today is protection from our vulnerabilities. Vulnerability means our weaknesses. Simply stated, I could have put weaknesses there and not said vulnerability, but I put vulnerability there because I want to explain something about that word. Vulnerability is like your soft spot. Vulnerability in an army camp is that spot where the guard is not awake. Vulnerability is that place where the armament is not working properly so that when the attack happens from the enemy, they will not be in the defense because the guns won't shoot. A vulnerability could be something to where that the people don't have the staying power. They don't have the resistance. They don't have the kind of energy to keep them fighting even to the last man when they are attacked, because they don't have the spirit to fight until the last man is not standing anymore. Vulnerability within our own self is those things, those weaknesses, those shortcomings, or those soft spots in us that are easy to fall, that are easy to fall down on our iman and our good behavior as Muslims. And I give you this in the English interpretation, but in Surah Fatir, Allah says to us in the 8th ayah, and I give you the interpretation as I said, is he then to whom the evil of his conduct, the evil of his behavior, made alluring? Alluring means inviting or pleasing to him, something attractive to him, so that he looks upon it as being something good. Is that person equal to someone who is rightly guided? Is that person that is willing to take something that they should be avoiding, but they love it, they want to do it, and they fall victim to doing it? Is that person as good or equal to somebody who stays on the right path? That's what Allah asks us. Of course, we know the answer is obvious, no. But it says that Allah leaves to stray who He wills. In other words, if an individual decides that they want to follow that alluring invite, temptation from the Satan, Allah's going to let them go. If that's what they choose, He's going to let them go. If you want to jump in the fire, okay. You don't want me? You want that? Okay. Allah leaves to stray whom He wills. So if you don't want Allah, Allah doesn't force us. Eventually, we're going to submit. Eventually, we're all going to submit. But Pharaoh submitted too late. Pharaoh submitted after being warned for a long time by Musa and Harun to submit himself, to obey Allah, to do what Allah commanded. And finally, when the waves came crashing over him, he said, La ilaha illallah. Quran said it was too late. We don't want to wait until we're forced because we won't receive the blessing. of the Jannah, we're going to go to hellfire because we rebel and we rebel and we rebel. And Allah wants us to come to Him willingly. But He'll let us stray if that's what we want. But Allah says to us in this ayat, do not let your soul, and your soul, it doesn't just mean that spiritual element of yourself, it also means your appetites and your emotion and your desires, the things that you love, the things that you want, the things that you crave. Don't let your soul exert itself in vainly yearning after them, meaning those people that have rejected Allah and His messenger. You may see them having long cars, these long limousines. You may see them dressed in new clothing, fancy clothing. You may see them with the most beautiful women that you could see on the TV. You may see them in big, gigantic, beautiful, beautiful houses. But you see the things that they represent are not from Allah. They're not from the Quran and the Sunnah. And Allah says, do not let yourself be vainly. Vainly means it's not going to profit you anything, but don't let yourself uselessly be wanting to be part of that. Don't want that. Don't allow yourself to become so weak that you would rather have that than to have this. Even though we may not have, some of us may have bigger houses than others, but we may not have all of that that those people that are serving Shaitan have. But Allah says, don't let your heart go out to that. He says, because Allah knows well all that they do. He knows how miserable that they are inside, even though they have all these things, because only Allah can give you sakinah in your heart, peace in your soul. So they may have a show of wonderful, wonderful material things, but they also have a judgment on them that is a judgment of hellfire. So Allah is warning us, do not allow ourselves to become so weak and vulnerable to their invitation that we want that instead of this. Dear Muslims, we understand that we have many enemies. And I'm giving you a talk that was given many years ago by my Sheikh, Imam Wadiuddin Muhammad. And it's going to be short. We understand that these enemies are the agents of the Shaitan, our enemies. And we must get sophisticated enough in our alert mind, in our conscious mind, and in our thoughts to recognize our own weaknesses. We need to study ourselves. We need to look at ourselves inside and determine inside of us what our weaknesses are. Each one of us needs to do that. And not invite the enemies in on us by opening up ourselves to those weaknesses. Because the enemy is standing by using all types of methods today. There could be people that we are in the same offices, barracks, officers' quarters, or the same enlisted quarters, or the same hotel, or the same rooming house with that are spying on us for the enemy, just to report to the enemy what our weaknesses is, what kind of behavior we have. We don't know, but we can be assured that the enemy is working, trying to find us in a weak position so he can bring us down. We must defend ourselves morally against the most corrupt and evil elements in this country that are watching us all the time. And even though y'all are over here just for a period of time, this is not where you're going to probably remain for a very, very long time. But even while you're here, the enemy is watching you so he can report back something to your government that he found you doing that you know and they know that is against the law or it's not something that you should be doing. Don't think that just because you're over here for a short period of time, the enemy doesn't have spies, even from your own country over here watching you. You're looking at me like, where does he get that from? I wouldn't say this if I didn't know it, brothers. I mean, we have cases right here in this masjid where people have been spied upon and word got back to their own country about things they were doing over here. So be careful. Because these enemies are working on us, the Muslims, to defeat our honorable advances. We're trying to make progress to reclaim the world for Allah. We don't want to see the world go down into the pit of fire, and we stand idly by in a cool spot watching the masses of people because many of them are ignorant. They don't know what we know about Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we don't want to see these people that don't know Now, if they've been told and we warned them and they want to go that way, then that's different. But there are millions and billions of people that don't have what we have. You may say they should have it because it's on the TV, it's on the internet. But what is the most prominent thing that you see on the TV and the internet in this country concerning Muslims? It's not the beautiful thing that Islam has done to the world, the education that it's brought to the world, the good culture that it's brought to the world, the wonderful dress of the women that it's brought to the world, the wonderful dress of the men that it's brought to the world, the style of behavior that we have, loving each other and caring for each other. That's not what you generally see projected in the media. It's negative things. So we can't say they know, because what they're being taught, if we're not teaching them, is not something that is going to help them come closer to Islam, chances are. So what I'm saying, brothers, is that we need to protect ourselves, first of all, so we can raise them. Because this is what they'll do. They will find that you have a weakness. They will study your behavior when you're not even aware of it. And they will find that you have a weakness. They know where you go on the internet at night. Don't think they don't know. They know exactly every website you go to, every time you go on the internet. Don't think that the NSA doesn't know where you're going. Are you on a military base too? Or you are taking advantage of the opportunity to connect to a military network? You don't think they know where you're going? And even the AT&T, which is one of the biggest communications companies in the United States, which many of you that live off post may be subscribing to them. It was just in the paper 2 days ago that they are one of the biggest spies, helping the U.S. government to be able to trace where you're going on the internet. That's not just you. That's everybody. You're not going to escape. I'm telling you. You're going to be watched while you're in this country, for sure. And the people that are looking for your weakness, they will find out what your weakness is. I'm just using the internet for one example. There's other things, too. Those of you that may be inclined to go to bars and nightclubs, they've got people waiting at the door of the nightclub just checking off the names of the Muslims that come in there. They've got agents to see how many Muslims are falling from Islam coming in the nightclubs. They have a design to try to bring us down by embarrassing us because of the behavior that we may be doing that's satanic. They will find that you have a weakness and they will work on it. They will send a girl in on you. Oh, yeah, you go into one of these places, next thing you know, some pretty girls ask, where you from? Oh, that's nice. I like to go there. They give you some conversation. Next thing you know, you're sitting down there with them. And if the girl did not help them to bring you down, they'll send a woman in. They'll send somebody with a little more trick knowledge, a little more trickiness. And if the woman did not help them, they'll send a sissy in. You know what a sissy is. That's a man that's not wanting to be a man. They want to be a woman. They'll send, if they think you got some kind of weakness like that, they'll send that in on you. They're going to find your weakness if you let them. And if Allah does not protect you, and he's not going to protect you if you allow yourself to be yearning after what they have. And if the sister did not help them, they'll send a dog. They think you have some kind of, what they call in America, freaky type of tendencies. You like to do unusual kind of stuff. They'll send somebody in there that will invite you to do unusual kind of stuff. And there's a lot of people in this country nowadays that like to do a lot of real unusual stuff. Don't get tricked into that. Examine yourself and make sure that you don't have any tendency towards unusual stuff, because if you do, you need to come to the mosque and help get it fixed, because they'll find somebody that will feed you that. And if that doesn't help, they'll send a gorilla. They'll send somebody to really mess up your mind by putting a whole lot of strangeness in your thoughts. You'll be set up, but you won't be innocent. It's one thing not to be guilty and get set up, but it's another thing to be doing wrong stuff, and then they find you doing wrong stuff, and they fix it so you get set up. All of us need to be aware of that. There will be some evil element in the society who will see a weakness in you and feed that weakness. That's the work of the shaitan. They will pretend to be your friend and be feeding that weakness in you, hoping that they will destroy you and make you fall to their low moral existence. Somebody may invite you over to their house. You say, you know, I respect your military officers, and I respect you as an officer, and we're going to have some of the officers from other countries over at my house. You may know some of them you may not know. Please come over. We're going to sit around and we're going to talk about different things about our life in the military. And you go over there and they say, have a drink of wine, Captain or Colonel or Major. And you're looking at everybody else, those that are not Muslims or those that are not good Muslims, and they're picking the wine up off the tray. And you feel ashamed because you are not going to have one. And you say, I just take a little tip, a little bit. Oh, no, no. They know in advance that that's their game for you. Because their plan is before you leave there, they're going to have you so drunk you won't even be able to drive home. Because they want you to get arrested by the police and your picture to be in the newspaper. That's what they set you up for. You may think they're your friend, but if they're trying to serve you wine and they know you're a Muslim, they're not your friend. They're your enemy. Or they may call you by your first name. They may pat you on your back. But they know you're a Muslim and they know Muslims don't drink and they're offering you wine. That's not your friend. That's your enemy. He may help you out with your classwork, but he's not doing it to help you to succeed as a man, as a Muslim. He's helping you so he can get close to you, so he can set you up. Be careful. That's all I'm saying. Be careful. We have to be aware that we are being fought against all the time. There are people sneaking, conniving, and maneuvering just to bring us down. They, these satanic agents, would like to say us, see us stay down and never get to establish our Islamic identity, our true Islamic character. So we have to be aware of that. And as we conclude this part, we just want to wrap this up by saying we have to work hard, dear brothers, to protect our own vulnerability, our own weakness. We all have weaknesses. The Holy Quran says we were created daif and we were created weak. God created us weak, but not to stay weak, not to feed that weakness, but to grow out of that weakness. And he said that he sent Adam, who was created weak. He sent him revelation. He sent him inspiration. He sent him why? So that he would become more aware and stronger so he could resist the Satan the next time. So we have to see our personal behavior, our private as well as our personal, our open behavior, as serious. And we have to stop desiring to be participants in the evil activities of the enemies of Allah. Oh yes, they're going to make it look very inviting, the things that they like to do. They have all kinds of activities that they know will attract people. But they're not condoned by Allah and His Messenger. But they may appeal to some weakness we have. And they're going to present this to us and make it look like it's a wonderful world. Come on in this wonderful situation. And yet, we know that it can't be wonderful if Allah has not created it for us to use. But the thing about it is, if we are not very careful, we're going to feed our weakness and we're going to yearn for these things. So we have to be careful. We have to stop wanting that lifestyle that they have invited us to. And that's one of the big problems, I would say this, from traveling through the Muslim world. And I travel extensively through the Muslim world. I see the Western enterprises infiltrating the Muslim world, not every country, but some countries, and setting up places that they say are for the enjoyment of the Western tourists. But yet, they set them up in the middle of the city where everybody can see them. I remember being in one Muslim country, and they had a swimming pool on the top of the building, and they had this gigantic sign as big as that wall over there with this picture of this half-naked woman diving into the water. So I was on my way to the masjid, and I just happened to be looking around, and I looked up, and I see this picture. Now, how is that supposed to affect the people that have to see it every day? Of course they're supposed to lower their gaze, but the weak ones probably are not going to lower their gaze. The weak ones are going to say, let me go in there and see what the real naked woman looks like. Because they're advertising, you can go in there and you can see that, at least the ones that are almost naked. So I'm just saying, that wasn't in the United States. That was in a country in the Muslim world. And they are putting those places up all over the Muslim world. Went to another country in the Muslim world, went in the beautiful hotel that the U.S. corporation set up over there, went in the refrigerator looking for some water because it was hot that day and the air conditioning was working, but I was thirsty and wanted some cool water. There were 2 bottles of water in there and about 30 bottles of alcohol. It's a Muslim country. They're inviting the people to come in that hotel, whether they're Muslim, Christian, Jews, doesn't make any difference, to drink alcohol. So what I'm saying is we have to be careful. So Allah is our protection. Allah and His Rasul are our protection. Dear Muslims, we pray that Allah would save us from hardship. We pray that Allah would save us from difficulty. We pray that Allah would save us from misery, and especially from bad spirits. And dear Muslims, let us remember our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teaching us that the believers are as soft as milk in their dealings with believers. We're not supposed to be harsh and ugly and hostile towards believers. We should embrace a believer when we see a believer. We should smile when we see a believer. We should hug the believer. We should let the believer know we love the believer because we are the only ones we have. When it comes down to it, we're the only ones we can trust. When it comes down to it, we're the only ones that we can put our life on or give our life care to. The Messenger of Allah trusted solely in Allah. And then because there were believers that trusted in a messenger, he trusted in them because they trusted in Allah. So let us come together and be a loving, close family. And this will be another one of our protections. Let us practice love, the love of the Ummah and the love for each other. Rabbana tina fi dunya, hasna tama fi al-akarati, hasna tama kina daminar.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانهر إن شانئك هو الأبتر. الله أكبر. سمي الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
آمين.
قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس. الله أكبر. أن يلو من حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
It's actually up at 8:00 a.m. Alexa, waking up at 8:00 a.m.
Alarm set reading at